We're explaining how fortunate they are to live there because it's Viparlamba Kshetra. Mm-hmm. It's Puri is Viparlamba Kshetra, which means that actually every grain of sand is actually full of Viparlamba. The world of separation, Radharani looking for Krishna, Krishna Kaha, Krishna Kaha. Mahaprabhu is moving everywhere, walking everywhere in Puri, especially there, right at the place when Haridasa first arrived. Walking over there, go swimming. I was explaining how this is an ideal kshetra for bhajan, sadhana bhajan, because we have to develop the separation mode. Mm-hmm. That sadhakas has to, that's the most important thing, to feel Krishna's presence in separation. To hanker too long and yearn so much for Krishna's darshan and Krishna's presence. Where is Krishna? What? I'm hearing about him, I'm attracted to him, I'm glorifying him, but where can I find him? So this is the thing. I was saying this land, this is the land where Lord Lord Chaitanya's tears, everywhere he was running, everywhere in Puri, and saturating the soil with his tears of separation. So anybody walks in this land, they can't but develop this mode of separation. Whereas I'm staying in Vrindavan, but Vrindavan is Sambhog Stali. Always enjoying. There's some minor separation, but only for an hour or so. Not the kind of mode of separation Lord Chaitanya experienced in Puri, and displayed in Puri. So I was trying to encourage the sadhakas there, if they have a great fortune living in a land of separation, to develop this most important mode of separation, Viparlamba Bhava, a Viparlamba sense and feeling of separation from Krishna. Prabhupada says in one purport in the Krishna book that the duty of the guru is to train his followers, disciples, and the mode of separation. He should actually train them in this mode of separation, how to feel separation from Krishna. And Prabhupada even says the more that one feels separation from Krishna, the more one is advancing in Krishna consciousness. Hey Radhe Vajadeva Kejalite Nandasuna Kutta Sri Govardhana Gavapalapataleka Vindivane Kutta Goshanta Vitisavita Vrijapuri Kida Mahavio Vande Rupa Sanatana Vijaya Sri Govardhana. So the perfect exemplars of devotional sentiments. The six Goswamis are showing this craving, this thirst, Krishna for Krishna. You must have thirst for Krishna. You must be eager to drink Bhakti Ras. I was saying in the car the other day about Maha Mantra. Why do we call the Hare Krishna Mantra the Maha Mantra? Because this mantra contains Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna ego. And by chanting this mantra, you can attain the greatest achievement. So the mantra which gives the greatest achievement is Maha. Maha means the greatest. And it gives, and this mantra, because it has the greatest form of the Lord, is there. Radha Krishna, the greatest expression of the Lord is Radha Krishna. The fullest expression of divinity. The most complete and full presentation of the Absolute is Radha Krishna. And the love that they share is the perfection of love. So that's Maha Mantra. So that's the greatest expression of love, is divine love of Radha Krishna. And the greatest expression of Godhead, all of Godhead, is Radha Krishna. So that mantra which brings you into their eternal service, or that mantra which reveals Radha Krishna, must be the greatest mantra. So therefore it's Maha Mantra. There's so many other mantras that reveal Brahman, or they reveal Brahman, or they reveal some other aspect of Godhead. This is the Maha Mantra. It reveals Radha Krishna Yuga, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Maha Maha, and this Maha Mantra is also, this Maha means, because when Radha Krishna is there, because the greatest expression of love is Mahabhav. This Maha means the mantra which reveals the Mahabhav that Radharani has for Krishna. And only Radharani has that Madanaki Mahabhav. Other gopis can't have that. So we're so fortunate. We take it so simply, we take it so lightly. Like someone has some kind of box of jewels and they're all shaped like marbles. It's like emerald marbles and like a child's marbles, but they're actually pure emerald and pure sapphires. Blue sapphire, yellow sapphire, and diamonds. And he thinks, oh, my great-grandfather, he was the king of Rajasthan. And this box of marbles came down to me from my great-grandfather. And it's just some marbles. Someone comes and knows the value, and he says, well, what is in this box? My great-grandfather, he was a king. Of course, all the kings are gone now, but you know, we're a Kshatriya family, but this is the heirloom I got, this box of marbles. Oh, let me see. And someone looks and says, this is not marble, this is a box of rare gems, precious jewels, blue sapphire, yellow sapphire, rubies and diamonds. You saw this as a red marble, this is a 100 carat ruby. And this big fat ruby, yeah, all these rubies, there's so much value. There's lakhs and crores of rupees in this box. These very high quality gems which are not even available nowadays. Everything is smoked and cooked and dyed and all fake gems and jewels. You realize, you know, you have crores and crores of rupees in your box of marbles and you're taking it so lightly. So our Maha Mantra is like that. Our Maha Mantra is like a box of jewels. 16 jewels. Ujjvala Nilamani. Krishna is Ujjvala and his premas, premautrala. Radharani is this Ujjvala. Her prema is so brilliant. So brilliant and so all-encompassing and unlimitedly deep that it emanates this pure white gold and lightning-like color, which is called Ujjvala. And then when she combines with Krishna, he's like a blue sapphire. Ujjvala Nilamani. But she increases his effulgence by her love. And then when his effulgence increases, then her love increases. And then when her love increases, then his brilliance increases. So this gem we have, this precious gem we have, the Maha Mantra, we think of just marbles. I'm just shooting marbles here. I just have a box of glass, red glass, and blue glass, and yellow glass, white glass. There's crystal, some crystal in here. Like what you saw was crystal, was diamond. What you saw was a red marble, was red ruby. So these 16 words of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, they're all gems. Gems of Bhav and Prem. I guess Krishna and Radharani, Radha and Krishna's bodies are made of Bhav. They're made of Prem. They're not made of gems. They're made of Bhavas, transcendental loving sentiments. So such a mantra we have, but we take it lightly. We inherited this great mantra, but we think it's a box of marble. Oh, Hare Krishna, everybody. Are you Hare Krishna? Everyone Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's nothing special about this. What's so precious? What's so dear? What's so rare? What's so valuable? But it's the Maha Mantra, which can give us the Mahabhava Sarupini and Rasaraj Sri Krishna. Rasaraj Sri Krishna is the greatest form of Godhead. So he's the Maha form, Maha Bhagavan. Maha Bhagavan. The greatest form of Bhagavan. And then the Mahabhava, the greatest form of Bhava, love is Radharan. So Mahabhagavan and Mahabhava, Radhan Krishna Yugam, Radha Gopinath. So that thing we've been given by our parampara, by our grandfather. Grandfather means Param Guru, and great grandfather means Paratara Guru. And all the fathers in the line are called Parameshti Guru. Parameshti Guru, the whole line of gurus. They've given down this box of marbles, which is actually 16 rare gems, love gems, divine love gems, imported from the spiritual world, just like Superman had his kryptonite. Superman came from some planet, he had some kind of kryptonite, special gem, power gem. So we have 16 power gems, Sarashakti Mayurata, and Rasa Shekhar Krishna, Rasika Shekhar. We should take this mantra very seriously. Whether we sing it, sing the Maha Mantra, or the chant japa. And Lord Chaitanya, after Lord Chaitanya's time, japa was introduced in a loud fashion. Before his time, before 500 years, generally they would lump, the mantras were chanted silently. Japa means silent chanting. But when you use the word japa in relation to Hare Krishna, it means actually loud. As Haridas told us. Rupa Goswami told us his Namastagam. This is by Rupa Goswami.
Shri Krishna Namastagam.
Nikila Shruti Mali Ratna Mala Dhiti Nirajita Parapanka Janta Ayi Mukta Kulaya Rupas Upasyamanam Paritastram Harinama Samsrayami. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. The nails of your lotus feet are worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the necklace of jewels known as Upanishads, which themselves are the crown jewel of all the Shrutis. You're also worshipped with liberated sages. Now, there's one verse here which describes, I don't know if this is this one, I think it's another prayer to the Holy Name. Yeah, Chaitanyasikam. This is also by Rupa Goswami, same as Namastikam. Hare Krishna Yuche Spurita Rasa Nama Ganana Krita Granti Shreni Subhaga Kati Sutro Kati Sutro Kati Sutro Tulakara Vishalaksho Jagarga Jagarga Jugala Kailanchita Bhuja. So Chaitanya Kim Mani Punarapitra Shur Yasyatipadam. So this is explaining here. Rupa Goswami is explaining how Lord Chaitanya would chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Uche. There's three kinds of mantras can be chanted by Upamshu, which means whispering, or Japa, which means silent, or Uche, which means loudly. It says, Hare Krishna Iti Uche Spurita Rasana Namagana. Mahaprabhu's tongue is always dancing by loudly calling out Hare Krishna. He counts the names which he is calling out on an exquisite strip of copan cloth from around his waist, which has been tied with knots for chanting. So he never chanted on beads. There's nowhere, anywhere told where he chanted on mala, but he did chant on cut. There's no more greater authority than Rupa Goswami. And he's saying, Kati Sutro Jvalakara. Kati means sutra means string, Kati means knotted string. Ujvala means very brilliant, very bright. Kara means hand. So he's holding in his hand this knotted string. So he had around his waist a knotted string, and he would just hold one knot and chant loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is the closest praman you have to describe the chanting of japa of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Ashtakam. And there's some other prayers too. So it says, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Uche, Spurita Rasa Nama Ganana. So when he would chant loudly, and various, he would have different visions of Spurita Ras Nama Ganana. As he counted the name, different rasas would arise. So this is granti, krita granti. You know, he's counting. Granti means minimum four rounds. So the point is that sometimes people, they say, oh, you know, the shastras say you should chant japa silently. But when they're talking about chanting japa silently, these are all the shastras that discuss that are all before Lord Chaitanya's time. Even Hari Bhakti Vilas is talking about chanting japa silently. But that's talking, it's quoting those quotations from Skanda and Panaprana, which were written millenniums ago, way before Lord Chaitanya. And when they're talking about Japa, they're talking about Gayatri Japa. Uh-huh. Brahma Gayatri, Kam Gayatri, Gopal Mantra, Guru Gayatri, Durga Gayatri, Parvati Gayatri, whatever, Sri Gayatri, whatever. So all these mantras are chanted silently. And you get 1,000 times the benefit if you chant them silently rather than loudly. But sometimes some Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they cite these quotes and they say, yes, so we should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra silently. You get 1,000 times more benefit. And people also, devotees rank and file, devotees get confused also. Oh, I should chant silently. I'll get more benefit. Well, we have to see that this word japa doesn't really refer to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Refers to these different Gayatris, these Bija mantras, Gayatri mantras, and other mantras. But we see that the Maha Mantra, the teachers of the Maha Mantra, and the Acharya of the Maha Mantra, the Namacharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Namavatar, has come to introduce his name, Prem Nam Sagradan. He's chanting loudly, even when he's chanting japa. This Hare Krishna Iti Uche. Uche means the third type of chanting. And Haridasa Thakur is preaching, and Harinam Chintamani, also in Chaitanya Bhagavat, one should chant japa loudly. Lord Chaitanya is also saying. So it's quite correct that our Srila Prabhupada introduced the loud chanting of Hare Krishna. We should chant the japa so we can hear it. Although some Babaji's and disciples of different Babaji's, they propagate silent chanting, but and that may be their guru's order, so they should follow their guru's order and chant silently with that disorder. But we can see that this really isn't the method that was shown by Lord Chaitanya. Was the inaugurator. He's the inaugurator. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement. So if we're to follow Rupa Goswami, and we're supposed to follow Rupa Raghunath, and we're to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jiva Goswami, they're all describing that we should chant loudly. So this is what Srila Prabhupada introduced in this God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sit properly.
Comes in the japa.
Right, so. And he himself, as you've seen, Lila Amrita Prabhupada would join the devotees every day and chant one round. Sometimes it's, in one place I saw where he chanted 16 rounds with the devotees. Or no, it wasn't, wasn't that that was a regular thing, but it was a description. I think it was 1968. They were invited to a peace vigil. They were invited, please come to the United Nations. We have invited you to come to the United Nations. We're having a peace vigil, and it's a 2-hour observation of silence. So you for world peace. So would you like to participate? So Prabhupada said, all right. So all the devotees went there, the New York devotees from Second Avenue. They went to the United Nations. And then Prabhupada said, all right, so everyone chant for 16 rounds. So everyone chanted 16 rounds. And Prabhupada was with them. He chanted with them. But generally, it's told that Prabhupada would come every day in the temple, and he would chant one round for the devotees. And that japa tape is just it. They recorded like endless loop. It's not that Prabhupada chanted all the half hour. He chanted one round. He would come down from his apartment in the back into the Second Avenue temple. He'd sit down, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like this. So, this is, Prabhupada sets such a perfect example for us. And nowadays we see, what I've seen at least, is many devotees come to India and they mix up with different devotees from different missions, Gaudiya missions or Babaji's or whatever. And they get this idea, oh, you should chant silently, oh, Prabhupada taught us wrong. You know, A.C. Bhaktivedanta taught us wrong, and the scriptures say you get 1,000 times more benefit if you chant silently. But they don't actually, you can't understand scripture without guru. So if you only read on your own with your own brain and ego, combination of mundane intelligence and false ego produces ignorance, not knowledge. Knowledge only comes by submission. No submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So unless you submit yourself to the guru, you won't get trained and you won't get the permission of guru agya. Guru agya means order of permission. When you have the permission and sanction of guru, then you can enter the riba. You can be admitted into the high circle, the inner circle of Radharani's sakis and maidservants, sakhi mandiris. No submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. Now the thing is, I think there's a little bit of misconception because our acharyas in Kaladesha and Patra, they know quite, they are coming before us. God, or you can say God comes before us as guru. Guru is God. He is Sakshat Hari. He is a representative of God. Germany comes before us. Germany comes to India in the form of the ambassador.
Yeah.
So all of Germany comes to India, to Delhi, in the form of the ambassador, and he lives in the embassy. So the entire spiritual world, which is like the country of Germany, the entire spiritual world comes before us in the form of the ambassador, spiritual ambassador, that is guru. And guru, he represents the interest of the country, of the spiritual world. And he's showing, and he assesses the audience, and then he prescribes a proper knowledge or proper package of sadhana for them. So mostly, we see the Prabhupada was, he would come before us, the guru would come before us and see us, here's, you chant the Mahamantra and chant loudly, like Prabhupada taught. So then we read a few shastras and we meet a few devotees and we think, oh, there's another way. But actually, that's why this is a particular point, that I've seen this misunderstood point. Because, you know, actually we're chanting Hare Krishna japa, but this we say we're doing japa on the beads.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you know, Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya, our japa should be loud. That's what I'm telling. Rupa Goswami is saying, and this Chaitanya Ashtakam by Rupa Goswami, he's saying Hare Krishnaiti, and he's chanting a japa. This is a japa on a knotted string. This is such an important verse that we see when Haridas is actually teaching about chanting, he's saying he wants to chant loudly. And the whole dialogue in Chaitanya Bhagavata, because the Brahmins are saying, no, japa should be chanted silently. It's in Chaitanya Bhagavata. And if this isn't true, then your nose will fall off, Haridas. That was Gopal Chapala. So then 3 days later, Gopal Chapala's nose fell off. And Haridas is explaining, oh, Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto, in other places, says, Shravana Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam, that chanting japa should be loud. Krishna's name should be loudly chanted. And Haridas, he argued, which is better, to feed yourself or to feed yourself and feed 1,000 people? If you chant silently, you only feed yourself. You nourish yourself. You nourish your bhakti lata. If you chant loudly, you nourish your bhakti lata and the bhakti lata of all the living entities. For the trees, the birds, the fleas, the insects. They also nourishes their devotion because they hear the Shuddha, they hear the holy name. So this really, japa, whenever we see japa in these ancient shastras, These shastras are written before the advent, before the descent of Lord Chaitanya. And these are the teachings. When the word japa is used there, it's not referring to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But some people try to use this to beg the question, or what you say, whatever that phrase is, to make their point. Say, oh no, you should chant silently. And see, Skanda Purana says it's 1,000 times more than ever to watch chant silently. I mean, Rupa Goswami is our Mahajanacharya, and he's telling. I mean, not as stream. Kati Sutra Ujjvala. Kara. That means hand. With his hand, he was holding it very brilliant and effulgent. Knotted string, Kati Sutra. And he was chanting Hare Krishna Uche. And you can look at Chaitanya Bhagavad also. He's telling everyone, he tells everyone should chant the Maha Mantra. And he says loudly, he says that in Chaitanya Bhagavad. And Lord Chaitanya is speaking about the actual Maha Mantra. Because the tendency when we chant, as everyone knows, when we chant loudly, it engages the tongue and the ears and it captures the mind. The sound captures the mind. Sound captures the mind. If you're sitting somewhere, what happens? You're sitting here chanting japa, and it's very quiet, and suddenly outside the door, someone sets off a cracker. Like a boom! What does everyone do? Everyone stops their attention, they turn their head towards the door, and they look, oh, what's going on? Or if it's a big noise, maybe it doesn't, you don't know whether it's a cracker or a bomb, or maybe a gun going off, because cracker, everyone says, oh, that was louder than the cracker. And that was very powerful. What is that? Well, maybe then your mind, the sound, if it's unusual or peculiar enough, it attracts your mind, and your mind just runs with that sound. Oh, but that was bigger than a cracker. That sounded like a bomb. What a bomb! What is that? Then was there some terrorists? And then, oh, I hear some people crying and screaming. Maybe somebody threw a bomb in a parking lot. Someone got killed. You know, then the job is finished. Your whole mind and consciousness is absorbed in that cracker. So the Hare Krishna mantra is 16 crackers. Boom, boom, boom. Like those kind of those jumbo crackers or something. You light one and they just go da 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 da. You know. And then sometimes in 5 minutes they're boom. You know, one's slow to go off and it goes off in a corner somewhere. Toom. So the Maha mantra is like 16 crackers. Hare Krishna. You know, boom, boom. Oh. So these crackers, when they go off, they capture the attention, they capture the mind and consciousness.
Is it true some people say that Haridas Thakur, he used to chant loudly 1 lakh name and then...
Yeah, well, I wrote that in my book. I mean, some people say, like Mahanandi Swami says in his book, Art of Chanting. Because I had heard that, but that's why I mentioned a few minutes ago, we heard that, and we also wrote that he chanted one lakh style, one lakh, you know, because he's... So there's different ways to look at that. But when he's actually speaking, at least we believe when Harinam Chintamani, which was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying that this is a dialogue between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas, where he's describing the Maha Mantra. But then Haridas himself is also describing Maha Mantra in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in both cases, Vrindavanadas Thakur is recounting, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur is recounting his spurti or his realization of whatever understanding. He's talking about loud chanting of the Maha Mantra, Haridas Thakur, and he's the Acharya. So we have to, maybe some rumor about someone, but we have to accept what the person actually says about himself to be much more valuable or true than what you heard about him. Well, I heard Mahanandi Swami was born in France, and he's French. And someone said, well, I asked Mahanandi Maharaj where you're born. And he said this. So now which is more correct, what he said directly or what someone heard about? So Haridas Thakur is preaching like this directly. So we have to accept that. And moreover, our Acharya, our Guru and our Paramguru is telling chant loudly, and then we think we're smart. Don't, like Prabhupada used to tell, you say, don't be over-intelligent. Don't be a better Guru than your Guru. Don't be a bigger Guru than your Guru. Don't be over-intelligent. So this we have to be careful. And another way I looked at it, because someone asked me this question before, that if we say his teachings are like this, that he's actually, whenever you see Haridas Thakur speaking about chanting japa, he says loudly, Uche. So that will support that he did definitely chant at least 1 lakh loudly, if not all lakhs. Now, if you take it from another viewpoint, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he designated Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name, Namacharya. So if you're the Acharya of the Holy Name, you have to teach by example. So the followers, some followers may chant silently, because there are some Gaudiya Vaishnavas and Babaji's and disciples who propagate that their followers should chant silently, or manasik jap. And there are some that say you should whisper very silently. You whisper so you can hear it, but no one else should hear. That's upamshu. And there are other acharyas say it should be loudly, so you can hear, maybe even someone next to you can hear, or the birds or animals or some other person can hear. And then it be more powerful to capture your mind if it's sufficiently loud and clearly, very clearly pronounced by engaging the tongue, the upper and lower lip and the tongue, as Prabhupada said. Should be all engaged. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So therefore, there's three ways of chant. So if he's the acharya, acharya means one who teaches by example. Achar and prachar. So his preaching was we should chant loudly, but people say that he chanted all three ways. So if he's the acharya, then he has to show all three ways. So everyone can be connected with Haridas Thakur. Those that advocate silent chanting, they can say, oh, see, Haridas Thakur chanted one lakh silently. So we're following the acharya, namacharya. We're chanting silently. And someone else can say, oh, Haridas Thakur, he chanted one lakh of rounds loudly. So we're also following the acharya, namacharya. We're chanting loudly. And someone else, another Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava, can say, oh, but we're chanting whispering, upamshu. And we're also following Haridas. So this way he can remain the namacharya for all groups. But if he's himself is only chanting loudly, then someone will say, why are you chanting silently? The acharya was chanting loudly. So it's one way to look at it like this, that he's the acharya, so he chanted all three ways. But we should follow his actual teaching, which he's telling loudly. That's more important. And then the parampara that we're coming in, which is emphasizing loud chanting. And it's a practical experience also. If you chant loudly, you can see how your mind gets captured. You can't wander here and there. Because if you chant loudly, your mind can only wander like, you know, 8 inches. Because there's one ear on one side and one ear on another side. And the distance between one ear and another ear is 8 inches. So if your mind starts to go out one side, it gets caught by one ear. If your mind goes out the other side, it gets caught by the other ear. But if you don't chant loudly, then there's infinite space which your mind can enter. There's nothing to capture your mind. Because sound travels through space. So once there's no sound injected into the space, then you can travel in outer space. Your mind can travel in outer space, and then you become you become a spaceman. And then your chanting becomes spaced out. And then you become left out of the spiritual world. And Radha and Krishna carry on, and then you get left out because you're spaced out. Because you're traveling in ethereal space. And ethereal space should be injected with the sound of the holy name. Sound travels through ether. But if you're not filling that ether with sound, then you'll fill it with thought. So you're chanting in your mind, but your mind is just filled with millions of thoughts. One thought comes and one thought, it's like one wave rises and one wave falls. Thoughts are coming endless. They're ceaseless thoughts. That's a discussion in Mahabharata. When Dharmaraj disguised himself as a yaksha in Kamyavan, and he disguised himself as a yaksha and sat by this kund, which later became known as Dharmkund. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, Bhima went to drink water. He's very thirsty. He said, don't drink water. Before you drink, answer my questions. So then Bhima said, I'll be quiet. You see, yaksha. And he drank the water, then he died. And then he didn't come back for a long time. So Yudhisthira, he sent the brothers, go look for him. So Arjuna came there, and he went to drink water. And then they asked, and he died. And then Sahadeva Nakul. Finally, Yudhisthira came. Then he asked these different questions, the yaksha. Then he said, what is that thing which never ceases? Remember? What is that thing which never ceases, which always goes on and on? Then Yudhisthira said, thoughts. Thoughts never cease. Thoughts are, you know, 1,000 thoughts you think in 1 minute, and a minute later, 1,000 more thoughts come. He said, so thought, and the yaksha said, yes. So these thoughts are endless, and they go on and on and on. Of course, generally, I mean, even if someone takes up silent chanting, generally a guru won't object. You know, the disciple wants to try chanting silently. But there's two things that happen. One thing is that practically we can understand that if we chant loudly, our mind can be captured. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, doesn't But if we also try practicing Manasik Japa, we see how difficult it is. And how slow. Your Japa becomes actually very slow in the beginning, although people claim it's very fast. And the tendency is that ignorance creeps up and we fall asleep when we chant silently. But to actually effectively chant silently, because I do also chant silently, to effectively chant silently, you have to be super concentrated and super attentive. Super concentrated attention to actually hear the mantra because you know then your mind becomes focused. There's no, but it's very difficult. Generally, it's very, very difficult because our natures, our actual svabhav, our prakriti, the prakriti of our body is basically tamasic and rajasic. Very few people have a sattvic constitution that we have to be honest about. Our constitution comes through our genes. Constitution, mm-hmm. our body comes through our genes and through our birth. And our birth is determined by so many antecedent factors. So the body is a product of the modes of nature. So there's a certain amount of goodness and ignorance and passion that make up every human body. So the most bodies in Kali Yuga are predominantly passionate, are passionate and ignorant. Even in the human species, it says janmana jayate sudro. Janmana jayate shudro. That most people that are born with it, like shudra sabhav or kalo shudra sambhava. So therefore, we want to do something like meditation. Meditation is a completely sattvic activity. So we want to do manasik japa. It's meditative japa. Then you have to have a sattvic buddhi and sattvic man and sattvic indriya and sattvic deha. But we don't have it. So we sit down, we're not yogis, in Satya Yuga everyone was sattvic, and they had sattvic buddhi and sattvic deha. So they could do this meditation, dhyanam, juvana smriti, and samadhi. It wasn't a big, wasn't so difficult. But now to do manasik japa, we had to see what kind of body do I have, what kind of body? Well, you get a set of cards when you play cards, we don't play cards of course, but they deal you your cards, and you have an ace and a queen and a ten and a jack and a spade and whatever. So you can only play your cards according to your hand. So you can only do things according to your nature. You know, we have our gross and subtle body, linga sharir and sukshma sharir, and they're made of gunas, gun, trigun. So we say, well, what am I? Am I like a sattvic yogi? So you sit down and you have this big body, and you sit down and it's basically a body of tama. Tama and Raja, and you sit down, oh, let me do manasik japa.
Huh?
Yeah, you'll do the Z mantra. You won't be doing the Maha mantra, you'll be doing
the B mantra. The B's, they also do
B's. But Z is just, that's the colloquial way of saying sleeping.
Yeah.
Z mantra.
Z'd
out. But it's a very very good practice in one sense to try to pinpoint the mind or try to find out how rascal the mind is. When you try to chant silently, then you realize how much junk and clutter is going on in the mind. So Chaito Dharpana Marjan, as the chit becomes cleansed, becomes easier to do these pursuits. The Prabhupada always said, and it's also there, some Vedic aphorism, Faliena Parichiyate or something, judge a thing by its results. If we can chant silently and be fully absorbed in the Lord, and that's with the sanction of our Guru, because Guru gives mantra, Guru gives conception of mantra, Guru gives the technique of mantra chanting. And if he's giving blessings for silent chanting, then we can do it. If our mind becomes pure, then all well and good. But generally, just loud chanting is more effective. Prabhupada says, he told us that in the beginning that we should chant the holy name of the Lord like a child crying, genuine crying, real crying. Asli Krandan. Not Nakli Krandan. Krandan? So it should be genuine, natural, real, the real McCoy, real crying. So how can you cry in your mind?
Mood of suppression?
I'm just saying, you can't. Crying in the mind, you can't do it. Crying means, big noise. So there's no, I never heard of such thing as a baby silently crying. Unless it's some kind of Buddhistic aphorism. Meditate on the sound of one hand clapping. And Buddhists have these type of things. one hand clapping. It doesn't work. Two hands are required to clap. So meditate on the sound of the silent crying of a baby. There's no such thing as this baby crying silently. So Prabhupada is telling us that we should chant like it. So that means it must be loud chanting, crying chanting. Chanting and crying, a blend, a fusion. It has to be fusion music. Crying and chanting. A cry chant. Cry that you can't chant, or chant that you can't cry. Cry because you can't chant. Akandanam, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Satatam Kirtiyantamam. We cry because we can't chant like that, or we chant because we can't cry. Or we cry to chant, or we chant to cry. The Prabhupada is saying like that. So if we're crying, if our chanting is supposed to be backed by crying, or infused with crying, or saturated with crying, then how can it be done in the mind? Cry in your mind, then you're going to suffocate from your tears. There's no outlet for your tears. You'll choke to death on your tears. Because when you're crying, the tears come out of your eyes and fall on the ground. You won't choke on them. If you're crying in your mind, silently, chanting silently in your mind and crying silently in your mind. And where will all those tears collect? They'll all fall down into your throat, and then you'll choke. So if we cry out loud, then the tears fall on the ground or fall on our shirt, and our shirt gets wet. So my experience and understanding of this is like this, japa. The term japa, really, for this, when they talk about silent japa, 1,000 times benefit, they're talking about these mantras, mantra japa. And when they're saying mantra japa, it means Gopal mantra, Gayatri mantra, Bija mantra. It doesn't mean Hare Krishna Maha mantra. It means mantra japa. It's not saying Maha mantra japa. Anyone who chants mantra silently, yeah, okay, I agree. And this is what mantra, what they mean by mantra, and this is what they mean by japa, I agree. So 1,000 times more beneficial. To chant your Gayatri in the mind without even moving the tongue. But when we're talking Maha Mantra, then we have to have a Maha consideration, Maha Vichara. And that Maha Vichara must come from Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is giving the greatest consideration about this chanting of the Maha Mantra, which should be done loudly. And then the Maha Mantra Acharya is telling loudly. And our guru chanted loudly, Prabhu chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Proof of the pudding is in the tasting. We can try silent chanting, but we may not have such good result. We want result. We want absorption. We want purification. And we want dedication, and we want satisfaction. We want the Lord to be satisfied. And what's the harm? Krishna loves to hear His name. If you're chanting silently, Krishna may not know what's going on. Maybe He can't read your mind.
Then Paramatma will come to know, not Krishna.
Yeah, Paramatma, He has ears inside your body.
Yeah.
Paramatma's eyes are inside your body, so He can hear your silent chanting. But Shamsundara, He's in Sevaka, yeah. Janidivan. Yeah. He's in human lila. He doesn't have ears inside the atom.
Yeah.
His ears are inside the atom. He can hear the atoms chanting. But Krishna's ears are on His head. And He's Shamasundara Govinda Damodara. And He's walking in the gullies of Vrindavan, and the birds are singing. He looks up in the trees. And someone is singing His name. He looks in the direction. Who is chanting? Especially if someone chants Radha. Radha, Radha, Radha. Anyone who chants the name of Radha, then Krishna runs to that place. If someone says Hare, 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 who is that chanting? Then Krishna runs. And someone says Krishna, 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 then Radharani runs. So when we chant the Yuga Mantra loudly, then they both run. Who's calling? Who's calling? How can you call someone silently in your mind? Didn't you hear me? I was calling you for prasadam. Like you come late for prasadam, you come a little late, and so where's the prasadam? Oh, what happened? Oh, you know, we started a half hour early today, a special feast. Didn't you hear me? I was calling you. I called you. I told you, come. Sukapriya, come. At 2:30, prasad, come. Didn't you hear me? No, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, so I didn't come. Well, how did you call me? I was calling you in my mind. I was silently calling you in my mind. You didn't hear. So you didn't come. So we're silently chanting Krishna's name. Maybe he doesn't hear. Maybe he doesn't come. If he doesn't come, we don't get his darshan. So it seems in different ways we can take encouragement to chant loudly. The most important thing, whether it's loud or soft or whispering, must be with bhakti, devotion, surrender, submission, petition, begging, crying, surrendering, and really want to please the Lord. We're chanting for the pleasure of the Lord. Everything we're doing is for the pleasure of the Lord. Anukulyena Krishnanu. This anukulyena means a favor. We're trying to make Krishna pleased and happy with everything we do. Anyabhilashita shunyam. First we remove the crap. First we remove the bad things. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Jnana karma lilamritam. That's the negative. Okay, that's out. Karam gan. Desire. Abhilash. Then, now what's left? Now we can do something favorable. Now we can do something positive. Anukulyena Krishnanu. Shunyam bhakti uttama. Then we can cultivate favorable activities, pleasing activities, and give satisfaction and happiness to Krishna. And then this is Uttam Bhakti. This is the bhakti that Krishna wants. This is the bhakti that wakes you up. Uta. Uta means wake up. Uta means beyond Tama. Tama means ignorance, sleeping. Uto means to get up. Uto Tama. Uto Tama. Uto. Rise up. Get out of Tama. So Uta means out of Tama, out of ignorance. Awakened state. Enlightened state. So Uttam Bhakti means bhakti that's free from ignorance. Karma is ignorance. Right? Jnana is passion. So we don't want karma mitra, jnana mitra. It's all tamasic, it's all rajasic. It's all mixed with icha, laziness and desire and action and activity. We want pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, Uttam Bhakti. So that must be favorable. Everything favorable for Krishna. Eating for Krishna, favorably eating, favorably served, everything favorable. Dai Gaur Premanandi Hari
Hari Gaur. Even in Radha's name, first was slow and then they said, no, this won't do. You have to chant Radha in your loudly and with
your mouth. Yeah, it's nice.
You're describing in Radha's name.
Yeah, because Radharani, Krishna wanted to meet Radharani in the banks of Radha and one Kunj, and he came there and she was in the Mandri. They met and they wanted to play with Krishna and increase his utkanta. They said, oh, you know, she can't make it today. You have to chant her name. Maybe you can get darshan. Nam Rup Gun Leela. Because the gopis told Krishna, Nama Chintamani Krishna is Chaitanya Dasa Vigra. Takshri Krishna Namani Nama Swayameva Svaratya. Swayameva Svarti. That Swayameva, you chant Krishna's, you know, Radharani's name nicely, then maybe he'll get darshan, Saksha Darshan. So Krishna was chanting, and they said, oh, no. And he said, what's happening? I've chanted so much. I'm not seeing her. I'm not getting her darshan. I'm not meeting her. I'm not finding her. But you said, then the gopi said, oh, there must be some offense. You must be chanting with some namaparad. You must be making some offenses. So you better chant loudly. You can counteract that offensive idea or mentality by chanting. You chant loudly, then maybe Radharani will hear you and you'll become proper chanting and Radharani will come and meet you. Have milan, Radharani. So then Krishna was there. Chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then Radharani, and they went and told Radharani, oh, he's chanting very nicely. He's really crying for you. He's really begging you to come. And all he, and his mood is totally pure, and he's totally submissive, and all he wants to do is serve you and please you. And he doesn't have any other idea or any other agenda. So I think now he's ready. So now, let's, come on. And they take Radharani by the hand. They say, oh, look, Krishna, just see, your chanting is so pure. You must have chanted Shudanam. Because now you're getting Radha Darshan. So this is told there. Radha Kun Mahima Madhuri. Radhe 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 Radhe.
Dai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur.